Buyurun.
Hi friends, welcome back to the Dean Blundell Show. I feel like I'm yelling all the time. I gotta be honest with you guys before we start. I've been trying to bridge the gap between podcasting and radio because everything I knew about radio makes me sick to my stomach now. Like, makes me physically ill hearing people go, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Let's talk." Like, I really fucking hate it. Like, when I listen to people on the radio now, it drives me crazy. I can't enjoy it because it's so fake. I can't. So when I start these podcasts off, I always start them off the same way, and I always feel cheesy at the end of it. So I don't know why I just explained all that, but no better time to tell you who's on the podcast today. Darren Pfeiffer from the rock and roll band Goldfinger, Adobe Radio's Dangerous Darren Show. Of course, you can get it at deanblundell.com as well. Hi, Darren. How are you? Nice to see you. Good. Thanks.
It's cold here, though, Dean. A little cold in Los Angeles.
Is it chilly today? What is it, 18?
It's...
18. Yeah, there you go. That's... You're a dick. A friend of mine from Calgary, we go to Los Angeles to Calgary, former Olympian, former CFLer, NFLer. My friend I was thinking about this yesterday, 20 years, Jesse Lumsden, ladies and gentlemen.
Lumsden. Hey, thanks, guys.
The Lumsden.
Thank you. Yeah, 20 years, that's nuts.
Well, when did we meet?
Yeah, it's been about 20 years.
2000.
It's awesome.
2001, we met. You were...
And you know what's great?
Go ahead.
Is the hiatus that you can have with buddies and you can pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
I appreciate that about you.
I appreciate that about you too, Jesse. I also appreciate your physique. I was just saying that to Darren before he came in. You were standing there in that shirt, which I could never wear. I can't even wear that shirt because you'd see my tits. So I
see your tits.
I'm not showing you my tits. I don't want to show you
mine.
Tits. No, I've got tits, not bad tits, not like noticeable tits, but I got tits. Like tits for me, they wouldn't be anybody else's tits, but you don't have tits yet. You definitely have tits. But
little jiggle, it's nothing fancy.
You're one of my friends who, like, anytime we went out somewhere or did something, I was always embarrassed because you were you and I was me. Just from an aesthetic standpoint. Let me talk to someone and I'll kill him. But like I'm saying, you've always been, what are you, like 43, 44, and you still look like a porn star.
Well, I'm 38, but thank you. And glad to know that my receding hairline is really, really starting to show.
He said he was 44 and he's 38. You are a dick.
I've known him since he was 19 years old. I think he was the first time he came on my show. He was like a senior at Mac, and he was like scoring 7 fucking touchdowns a game in college. Darren, 6, 7,
yeah.
8. One game he scored 44 touchdowns.
I remember that game.
No, seriously,
that's a record.
He came out of Jesse came out of Mac, and tell, I can't remember, you're player of the year, you won the Heck Creighton Trophy. And you were built like you still are built like a brick shithouse, but you could run like the fucking wind. And how many touchdowns did you score in your senior year? Like, take me through some of your stats. Did you have like a 12 touchdown game?
I know I'm honestly, and I'm, this is not a humble brag, I don't know my stats. I'm terrible at it. There was a lot. There was a lot. I'll brag about that. There was a lot, but it wasn't 12 in a game.
Wait, what was your position?
Running back.
Running back, okay. Yeah, scored a lot.
So, yeah, when we had a good offensive line who was just mean as hell and they liked to beat the shit out of people on the field, which was fun for me because often opened up some pretty big holes for me just to trot through.
Well, yeah, but no, it was a lot. Like, seriously, it was every week. It was in the news. I'd show up to the radio station. I'm like, should I be talking about a 19-year-old kid playing college football that scores 7 touchdowns in one game, like, every single week? And then you'd show up on highlights. It was like this – it was this Jesse Lumsden highlight train all the time on TSN, where it's like, oh, there's this Jesse Lumsden kid again. He scores another 4 touchdowns in the first half of a game. And I'm like, this guy's fucking unbelievable. So anyway, nice to have you on the show. Really good
it's
to have
good
you
good to be
back.
Here. Always good to be here. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Speaking of hair, though, I want to point out Sean before we get started. Sean Sargent, who's our tech producer. Can you guys see Sean? Can you see that? Sean, up until today, had a mullet.
That's sexy.
Up until today, Sean.
But you got rid of it.
Had a mullet. And I have never in my life, while I'm talking about good-looking men, seen a transformation like this. Like, literally, he looked like an alcoholic Zamboni driver yesterday.
Yeah, Sean, what happened?
Kind of took me out to,
Is there any other type?
COVID took me to a new place, a dark place. But
by the way, I just want to make a note here that I'm the only member of the show you haven't hit on yet. So
I think you're hot too. He looked, honest to God, he had a mullet up until yesterday, and I wanted to know why. Why did you have? Because I went for like months not saying anything about your mullet. And you'd show up to my house sometimes to do some work. And I'm like, do I say anything about the mullet? He's in my house.
Yeah, I just kind of missed out on the haircut season when everybody got a haircut before COVID started. And just kind of said, all right, hockey hair is coming back. But the hockey hair turned into, all right, just don't go outside anymore. And you don't have to see anybody. So just put a hat on and.
Mm-hmm.
It got longer. That's longer.
The decision to cut it, was it yours or a girl?
It was, I went to the barber in my local little small town that I live in now. And that
doesn't answer the question.
Did she make you?
Did she make you do it?
Yeah.
No. I did it for her. I'm wearing a shirt for her today. You know, I got all dressed
up. What do you
mean
you're wearing a shirt for her? What does that mean? I don't understand
it's
what it means.
For me. This is not for me. I'm not looking at myself.
You don't have a body like Jesse. You can't go around shirtless.
Did you hear what he just said? I'm not looking at myself. Okay, so you got your haircut for you, and you're wearing a dress-up shirt today, which also I have never seen. But then we started talking about why. And he said, and he said something that resonated with me is like he fucking gave up. He gave up like 6 months ago. He's like, why bother getting my haircut? And I feel it because like I rotate between three pairs of jeans right now.
Well, how many were you rotating to before that?
30.
Really?
Yeah. I have a ton of jeans.
Have 30 pairs of jeans.
I do. I have 30 pairs of blue jeans and I've probably got 200 black t-shirts and I'm not kidding. I'm that weird. But my point is I used to rotate through,
He never does laundry.
Exactly. And now I'm like, fuck, why would I bother breaking in a pair of jeans when I'm just going to be sitting in my fucking house during a pandemic? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or why would I bother getting dressed up? And it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I've sort of lost the will to give a shit about how I look on a day-to-day basis, where I used to get, like, for me, having a shower now is a pretty it's a big deal.
Like, some cultures think that is as like a state of mental freedom, though.
What do you mean?
Not caring about the exterior and what society thinks about you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you've hit a level of enlightenment that, or you're just lazy, and it's because of the pandemic. So.
Yeah, yeah, but like,
I've reached that point.
I'm trying to church it up. That's all I'm doing. I'm just trying to church it up here.
But have we all not just how we used to be 6 or 8, 10 months ago, where we get our shit on, we go out, we do our stuff for the day, we'd all get dressed up, we'd all shower, we'd put on some face balm, maybe we'd shave. Maybe. Not often would I shave, but maybe we'd shave. I don't even think about those fucking things anymore. Like the other day, I have a crack on the bottom of my foot that's probably 6 inches deep, and I'm like, oh, I should probably take care of that. I've got this thing on my face I've just noticed, and I'm like, oh, I should probably go have that looked at. Now I've noticed that I'm going fucking bald. Like, look at that. Look at it.
Going bald. Yeah.
This widow's peak. And I know.
You got a great quaff going on there, Dean. You look good.
You do, Dean. You got good hair on you. Okay,
but my point is, I don't know about you guys. I just don't give a shit right now.
That's okay.
What does that say about your junk? Is it a big forest down there then?
No.
You keep all right, that.
I can admit something here. The hair was matching the forest downstairs, so I had to kind of, you know, do a full trim.
It was a girl. You liar.
Yeah. Your girl made you shave your bald bush, right? And then you just decided to match your hair.
You get no more of this. You get to the shower, get to the barber.
Gets bad when you can't tell the difference in the shower if it's a pube or if it's a hair, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, your balls probably had a mullet. I don't doubt that. Like, that's how much of a like, I was worried about you when you would come here because maybe that's the depression, right? Because you and I have talked about this openly. Like, there's days where I'm sitting here going, why bother breathing?
My sweatpants I've been wearing for 5 days are comfy enough.
Or why bother making food? Why bother eating today?
I could take a shit, but why bother?
Why bother shitting? Like, that's how I am. I like at least 2 out of the 7 days a week, I'm like, forget it.
Yeah, my wife comes home from work around 5 and she's like, hey, honey, I love you. I'm like, well, whatever. Let's watch TV. I don't care.
I don't care about any of those things.
I get excited when there's a Bills game on or a sporting event. I get excited for that.
I do too. You know what? I've become single during the pandemic, and I'll tell you this. At least there's not someone else around me doing that. That's the other thing, you know, where you're like, oh, great, I need to live in my own misery until I get this inoculation sometime in September. But having someone right here doing it, that's incredibly different. And I was laughing because someone said to me the other day, asked me if I would ever date again. And I said, well, you'd have to define it. Like, you'd have to define dating. Because what the pandemic has taught me is that I'm such a weirdo to live with. Like, I'm such a weird human being that if I have someone else around me, I can't deal with their issues too. There's no way that I'm ever going to be. And I realized that after basically being in 2 long-term relationships for like 20 years. And now at the age of 47, I'm like, there's no way you should be allowed to live with another human.
It's different though with your kids, right? If your kids come to you with problems, you'll help them.
Totally different because I like them, right? Like, I enjoy my kids, but like, they feed into a positive environment when I'm around. I don't know.
I don't enjoy your kids, Zane. They're annoying.
No, but you've never seen my kids, so fuck you. But you've never even fucking met my kids. Yeah.
your kids are blood, so there's a different bond there. Do you need to find somebody that is an absolute angel and a saint to be around, or somebody who's exactly like you that's going to understand the tendencies and you can just look at each other and be like, not today. I'm going back to the basement.
I don't need any of that. I need none of that, Jesse. That's where none people. Yeah. Cause I was talking to my mom. She's like, I hope you find a nice girlfriend soon. I'm like, mom, I don't need one. I don't want one. Cause you know what happens, mom, Jesse? Yes. Very. You know what happens? She's, I hope you find a nice girl to settle down with and be happy. I'm like, mom, I was miserable when I was with somebody. I'm the happiest I've ever been being with nobody because I can take a shit with the door open. If I want to go to the store at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and get a pack of gum for no reason, I can do that without having someone go, where are you going? When are you coming back? What time are you going to be here? Well, I can't do this all day, you know, and you know, stuff like that. And then my mom was like this. She goes, are you down on being in a relationship? And I said, no, not at all. I just don't want what it comes with. Right. And there's a difference between being single and being lonely. I'm not lonely. I'm just single. But what the pandemic has taught me is I can't be around someone else who's as miserable as me and as weird as me at any point in time.
Ever. Yeah. Any external emotional baggage is just going to, you're so low. It's just going to absolutely bury you.
That's it. That's Jesse's a psychologist. And then then here's the other thing. And I just got to put this on the table. Then I start going, well, that's a problem for you, Dean, because that means you can never be around anybody with any problems.
For an extended period of time.
Yeah, all the time. It's and I don't like people in my space generally. And I know that when you're, you know, in a relationship, there's space issues in those relationships. So, yeah, the pandemic has taught me that I am terrible.
You're great at being you, Dean. Hey, Dean, listen, you're great at being you.
Yeah.
Never change.
Hey, how are things in Alberta, buddy? Explain something to me because you guys are warped and I think you're in the lockdown and I want to know how you're feeling about everything out there. I trust your opinion.
It's a bit of a dumpster fire for sure. I think this is the one thing that I've learned over this period of time is that we make a lot of mistakes while trying to figure something out. And people are very quickly to judge. Our premier tried to do something a little different, which probably backfired. He tried a staged lockdown, so removed some of the the stuff that wasn't necessarily going to cause massive spreading, but it might help prevent a little bit so this restaurants can stay open a little bit longer. And it didn't work. And Halloween was a shit show. Thanksgiving, everybody did what they wanted. And now it's the numbers of where they're at. So now we're back in full lockdown and it is what it is.
The whole province? Is the whole province in lockdown?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't do anything regional, like nothing up north. They just did the whole province.
I think so. I don't know. I mean, Calgary, Edmonton, and then it's, you know, you can throw Fort Mac into the mix Red there. Deer. But I mean, Red Deer, Leduc, Lethbridge.
Olds, Drumheller.
Olds, yeah.
Bicycle.
How about Bicycle? I haven't been to Bicycle yet.
How about Balzac? Have you been to Balzac? Balzac, Alberta?
Oh, Balzac, just, yeah. Balzac, yeah. Are absolutely. They locked down? Just on the other, underneath Calgary, yep. Just right underneath, actually just above Calgary, but you don't really want Balzac on top. So we just frame it that it's underneath.
Yeah, dude, there's a town just outside of Calgary. Actually, it's outside of Cochrane, which is outside of Calgary, and it's called Balzac. No, Airdrie. It's called Balzac. B-A-L-Z-A-C.
Is there a town near there called Taint? Because that would just be like a home run.
They should change. they should change Airdrie to Taint and Calgary to Asshole.
That's not nice.
Yeah,
we like it here.
Edmonton to Asshole. I watch a lot of different stuff that comes out of Alberta. Like I was watching the news the other day and Alberta's a really fucking conservative province. Like really conservative province. And I know you to be a pretty common sense individual. How are you, like, with your common sense? How do you manage the conversations in your life with some of the people that are super angry about where we are or are willing to blame people or want to open their fucking business? Because I don't know your politics when it comes to the virus, and I don't know your politics when it comes to the vaccination route, because I don't know about you, but I'm getting it as fast as I can.
Yeah. All middle, all the way. You know me. I'll just hit, right? I'm waiting for my t-shirts.
We're getting the shirts.
Alt middle.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, we have wasn't nearly as high profile, but there's a similar situation. And I think it's more being just talked about amongst the community of the dingus that runs that barbecue joint. Oh,
yeah. Adamson Barbecue.
And And there's a business owner here in Calgary that was out shaking the hands of everybody that was at the anti-mask rallies, but also the ones, you know, complaining about supporting small business. I mean, it's like, guys, you know, got to figure it out, man. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah, we're going to have to wear a mask for a little bit. Shut up and wear a mask. Who cares? If you can't breathe, start to exercise at home more to build up some lung capacity so you can breathe through a mask, because you're out of shape and you're not doing yourself any service. But there's just it seems everywhere though, right?
Yeah.
Lack of common sense. And when it comes to the discussions, I mean, I'm not hopping. I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any means. I got my flu shot this year. I got it last year. There's been a couple of years I missed. All my kids are vaccinated, but I'm not first in line on this ride.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just, and it has nothing to do with, it's just more, I want to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I love about this is that, and people get upset about, when you look at science is based off of trial and error. Mistakes need to be made before you can actually get to a result that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's the scientific process. And I'm not a scientist, but I'm taking a look at it. One thing that I don't like to see when it comes to your health is people being rushed into situations. I got young kids, you know, I got a wife who's still breastfeeding.
We lose them.
I'm reading on,
you're reading what? Go ahead.
I've been reading publications on the UK government. Fauci has came out and said that there hasn't been any testing done on nursing mothers, on pregnant mothers, on children. That testing is going to start in January. So for me, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to try to stay healthy. I'll keep my distance, socially distance. I'm going to wait and see. Let's take care of the people who need it first and foremost, get them taken care of. And then when it's my time and we have some more data, I'm sure there'll be some more information coming out, I'll probably hop on board as well.
What happens if you don't get it? Like, give me a timeline. Like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for more studies? Are you waiting for more efficacy? Are you waiting for more information? And when will you get it? Will you get it this year for you this year?
Will the vaccine be available for me this year?
Yes.
Probably not. Well, I mean, they're talking about March 2021.
They are in Alberta, they're saying that?
Well, I don't know. I thought in Canada that everybody should be able to have that access to the vaccine by March 2021.
Yeah, March 2021 is when that it's supposed to be making its way into Gen Pop, as they say, if this Moderna vaccine gets put out. So they're saying everybody should have access to it. Every Canadian should have access to it. And I think the States is even earlier. Every Canadian should have access to it by, I believe, the end of April to the end of July-ish. So if you make an appointment and you know your doctor has it, are you going to go get it? Or are you worried about the science? Because I know a lot of people like you that are common-minded that go in a good way where they say, listen, let's just fucking wait and see. Let's let everybody else get their vaccine first. I'm a little leery. And someone, I had a great conversation with someone the other day, and they were telling me that, listen, we've never put money like this into a vaccine like this yet. We haven't done this to this point. And we haven't used the science that was already there. There was already a COV2 vaccine that they had been working on for 10 to 12 years. And so they piggybacked off it. So, and I'm like you, I read and read and read, and everything I do is fact-based. But, you know, when it comes to legitimate reasons, breastfeeding mothers, little kids, a lot of these vaccines weren't tested on anybody over the age of 16 or 18. Someone in Canada today, we just had our very first anaphylactic shock. From someone who was allergic to it. So, you know, there's lots that we don't know. And I get your trepidation of the science, but at the same time, I wonder what's going to happen to people like that are like you that go, listen, I don't want to take it, but I might take it because I want to go to a fucking football game or I want to go to the movies.
Right.
Because that's proof of identification is a big deal.
And I'm not trepidation. I'm not hesitant about the science. I'm watching the process,
right?
Because there's going to be peaks and valleys through this. I mean, it's day one and we've had one anaphylactic shock case, and it's going to happen a lot more. And that's because people have allergies that they don't know and they experience shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they've rolled out vaccines in the past that have had issues. I think like HPV had like glass particles in some of them. Mm-hmm. There was there was an incident with the polio vaccine where there was a live batch given instead of a dead, like, I'm not a virologist. I don't know. I'm just I'm reading stuff.
Yep.
And I'm not saying this is going to be
You're not reading it from Facebook, are you, bud? Don't tell me you're reading it on Facebook. Okay, thanks.
No. No, I get all my news from Fox. All my news.
So does Darren. He gets all his news from Newsmax.
Yep. He's back at New York Post. Only read the New York Post. That's it.
It's a weird one because, Darren, I don't know about you, and I are simpatico. Like, listen, whatever comes with this vaccine, if it makes my dick half an inch smaller, that's fine. You know, if I grow a third finger, that's fine. I'll just have it amputated. And I'll roll the dice because my freedom's that important to me, right? Like, and I totally. Think, but I also get the real reasons. It's the people that go, I'm religious, can't do it. Sorry, can't do it. Fuck, religious.
I'm all for the people that want to be first in line on this roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because that lets me see exactly how many guys are going to start growing hands out of the top of their forehead. And then I can be like,
guys, I'm totally fine. I got the vaccine a month ago. There's nothing to worry about.
Has it gotten any bigger though, Darren?
That's the thing. That's what I worry about this. Do I have to worry about this?
It looks about the same size as when I saw you last, so I'm sure you're fine.
Okay,
good. You had it for a while, David?
Yeah, like years. I've had it for years. One summer, it just appeared on my face, and that's why I was worried, because it was a summer.
Ingrown hair.
Yeah.
No, it's not an ingrown hair.
But just going back on the vaccine thing quickly, here's one of the things that I've been thinking about. The COVID itself affects more negatively unhealthy, older, at risk people. Low risk is kids. No testing done on kids. You know, deductive reasoning tells me I'm not going to rush my kids into getting a vaccine that hasn't been had tests on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
they're little. They're little immune. Those kids are little like immune busters too, right? Like those. It's incredible how fucking like bounce back kids are and their immune system is. It's nuts. Which is why they don't need it.
Well, and to be honest with you, I'm more concerned that they're not being exposed to the germs that they need to be exposed to now, because they can't be playing with kids and they can't be at the playground and licking and eating dirt and all that sort of good stuff that helps them build all the. So, what are you blowing some fat clouds over there? What are you?
Yeah. Vape. I'm vaping.
He's a puffer. He's one of those little machine puffer things.
I can do that in these things. I get that. I just don't understand. Like I was watching Darren the news today. And this is one of those like little nuggets of information you see on the news where you're like, oh, this is fucking really bad. But California had 30,000 confirmed positive tests yesterday, and Gavin Newsom ordered 5,000 fucking body bags. 5,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. 300,000 people have died of this fucking thing. Like in the United States. In Ontario today, we just passed 4,000.
Like California has got a couple people inside of the state. It's a few people here. I think 35 million last I checked, something like
that. It's the same population as our entire country.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's a few people here, and there's pockets of California where idiots reside.
Yeah.
Mostly in Los Angeles County and most of Ventura, the Valley, and even parts of the Orange County. People are taking it seriously, but there are pockets of idiocy. People getting together for protests.
Yeah.
Trump supporters getting together for their stupid protests. And I think protests should have been banned, quite frankly, not to fall down another rabbit hole, but I think protesting should have been put on hold. I know it's your right, your constitutional right, but not right now. I mean, look what all these rallies and protests have done. Just spread, super spreader, just spreading it. So,
yeah.
If you're gonna infringe on any right in the states, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, whatever the third one is, it's people. There's gonna be literally up in arms about it. It's the United States is not one of those countries that's going to necessarily work together to try to stop something if it potentially infringes on a right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I suggest we change the name from the United States of America to the un-United States of America. Our United States, in parentheses, you know, like on the bottom in smaller font, you know, like
That's a great t-shirt.
United States,
and then a little parenthesis underneath it. Yeah, right. That's a great t-shirt for Kill the Eight. Do it.
All right, we'll do it.
All right, do it. What were you saying?
Whose turn is it?
Yours.
My turn. Yeah, California's got a big problem, but on the vaccine front, I'm one of the first in liners. I've lived a good life. I'm 51, and if something happens and I drop dead, then so be it. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Now I want to get back to life. I want to get back. I'm a musician. I'm in a music world, I want to get back to going to concerts. I want to go back to recording, playing shows, going to festivals, going to restaurants and bars. Mingling with people anywhere in the world.
Go to a Dodger game.
Going to the United Kingdom or getting on or going to a Dodger game or a Kings game. Go Kings, go. Mm-hmm. Or a Bills game. Which, by the way, I would have gone to three this season. I would have gone to San Francisco, Arizona, and L.A., but c'est la vie. I want to get back to life. And if Dr. Fauci and others are saying it's safe, mostly safe, and it's 95% effective, then, sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great numbers. And can't argue.
I don't have young kids. I don't have a wife that's mothering like you. You're in a different category, a different column. And your trepidation, I would agree with a little bit.
Well, and you know what? I'm absolutely at an advantage because I do have two young kids that I don't have a fucking life anyway. So what's the rush?
That's a good point.
That's a great point, actually, because it has to tailor your lifestyle. And you're like, it's almost like getting dressed in the morning, the vaccine, right? I'm not going out anyway. I'll wait to get the vaccine until everybody else has gone through because you've got kids who are super
young. Dressed on Saturday.
Yeah.
You want to watch Frozen 2 for the third time?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, I can't imagine having kids that young. But you're 38. It's a young man's game, kid. You could do it. Yeah.
You had kids when you were 38, Dean. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, like that was, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Yeah, but they weren't as young as his kids. He's got one that's breastfeeding still. Like he's got a
turned one today. It's his 1-year-old birthday today. Yeah, Rowan, the big guy.
Yeah. And how's the little girl? Is she still in charge? Does she still tell you what to do?
She's a weapon.
Like, who do you like more?
Out of the kids?
He's going to go on record.
I don't like,
which kid
I don't
do
like
you?
Either of them right now.
That's a good answer.
Slow me down.
But in a pinch, in a pinch, dude, you just said you're not going anywhere, so relax. In a pinch, you had to pick one. Which one would you pick as your favorite?
Oh, God. I'd sacrifice myself, whatever the cause is. Can't do it. You're not going to bait me into that question.
Nice try, dude.
Because we're living in the world of the internet, and this doesn't go away. This
opening up that bear trap, putting a piece of cheese in the middle.
It's true, though. People do have favorite kids. It depends on the time or the day. But generally speaking, like, certain kids of yours will walk into the room, and you'll either go, oh, nice to see you, or you'll go like this.
Yeah, I flip-flop daily. Yeah.
What do you want?
It's like, oh, my God. You again?
Yeah, here we go.
Where's Rowan?
Hey,
I want to hang out with that guy.
I want to. Where's Rowan? He's one. He just stares at you, does he?
He just laughs his ass off.
Does he? Oh, is he smiling, laughing?
Oh, yeah. Is he having a great time?
Is he bow hunting yet?
No, we're going to get him soon. I'll strap him to my chest and we'll get him in the woods.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Yeah. It's a great thing to do.
No risk there.
Dude, you're not getting vaccinated, so you might as well do it. Something for you.
Might as well just stay in the woods and be by myself. I mean, anyway.
You're not going to see people in the woods, right?
I hope not. Mingling. The whole point of going there is not to see people.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question? Because something happened yesterday, it actually led to a huge conversation this morning at DeanBlundell.com. It was Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise had this fucking meltdown, and I want to play it for you. He's on set at his new movie called MI7, Mission Impossible 7, which, by the way, I just want to say is a tremendous series of movies. I really like the Mission Impossible movie series. Oh, I really do. So,
agreed.
So I'm not going to trash the guy about the movie series, because I think the MI movie series is phenomenal. But this is Tom on set trying to finish a movie that's been shut down for I think it was two or three times it's been closed down because of the COVID issues. And due to the COVID issues, people are still doing what he's asked them not to do, which is stand too close to each other, talk to each other that close, touch each other and all that shit. And so he noticed it on set and went absolutely fucking nuclear. And I want to play this for you, and then I want your opinion, because I think he was 100% within his rights to be able to say any of this stuff. So have a listen. Here's Tom Cruise yesterday.
You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing. I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers. And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you
motherfuckers.
I don't ever want to see it again. Ever.
Ever.
And if you don't do it, you're fired. And fired. If I see you do it again, you're gone. And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you. Don't you ever do it again. That's it. No apologies. You can tell it to the people that are losing their f***ing homes because our industry is shut down. It's not going to put food on their table or pay for their college education. That's what I sleep with every night.
It's like a movie.
I love it.
In the future of the f***ing industry. So I'm sorry, I'm beyond your apologies. I have told you, and now I want it. And if you don't do it, you're out.
You're out.
We are not shutting this f***ing movie down! Is it understood? If I see it again, you're f***ing gone. And so are you. So you're gonna cost him his job. And I see it on the set, you're gone. And you're gone. That's it. Am I clear? Do you understand what I want? Do you understand the responsibility that you have? Because I will deal with your reason. And if you can't be reasonable, and I can't deal with your logic, you're fired. That's it. That is it.
That's it. That's it. So what you need is a little context here before everybody goes apeshit on Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise paid for, he pays all the production costs on MI7. He paid for like a cruise ship to be turned into a fucking hospital. He's paid like $700,000 twice to have all the PPE refreshed and protocols put in place so he can finish doing this movie. And he catches a couple of guys canoodling. You like that word? I love that word. Canoodling less than 2 feet apart. And that's what brought that on.
Question for you. I didn't see, I'm on my phone, so I don't know if you're showing a video clip at the same time. Is he wearing a mask?
He is wearing a mask, and you can hear him actually talking through the mask.
Through the mask. Time.
Yeah, yeah, you could. That's what you could hear, right?
And I just was dying inside, hoping that one of them said, sorry, Mr. Cruise, do you mind taking your mask off? I can't quite understand what you're saying right now.
You're fired! And you're fired! And you're fired!
I'm sorry. Could you, Tom, I missed that, the mask.
Sorry. It's just, I'm a little deaf, and I need to be able to read your lips. Big Ben. Big.
What?
You're fired. That's it. Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
Fried chicken, Tom?
But I like fried chicken. I was laughing because everybody was clowning him this morning on social media, and I had to do some like critical thinking behind why people were giving Tom shit, because to me that just sounds like a guy who's in charge at work and the employees keep acting like assholes and he's fucking sick of it, right?
Yeah,
that's the school I come from, where a dude is kind of fucking around and he's been told to stop fucking around, and it's the pandemic. That's what he's fucking around with. And Tom Cruise calls him a motherfucker. And to me, and that's what everybody, like, people were tweeting me this morning because I'm like, I love it. I think it's great. I think Tom Cruise is well within his rights. And I had tweets from these right fighters going, that's verbal abuse. I'm like, those fucking losers took their masks off and they were canoodling.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise has to pay for it. And they're soft as baby shit. And that drove me fucking crazy this morning. And I can't tell you why. And I hate Tom Cruise. I think Tom Cruise is the biggest weirdo on the fucking planet. I hate that I'm actually defending Tom Cruise. But I really do. I can't stand it. But at the same time, I'm on team Tom Cruise right now when it comes to this. Those guys are being motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you read page 4 of the employment agreement, it says no canoodling! No canoodle! Right there in English.
If he wasn't,
I need you to carry this into the next scene now. Okay, this is really good, guys. Great job. Great job. We got what we wanted.
Let's skip ahead to the scene. Let's skip ahead to the scene where Tom's really angry.
Yeah.
In the script. Tom, we're gonna skip ahead a couple days.
Didn't it sound like a movie though? That he was. Didn't it sound like every movie Tom Cruise is in, that entire fucking thing? You're gone and you're gone. It sounded like fucking A Few Good Men. It sounded like every movie where he exerts himself and he's like threatening somebody and he's in dire straits. That sounded like every fucking Tom Cruise movie I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Which also makes it hard to take seriously. Like, are the guys going, such a good actor? God, he's good.
Man, is he real right now? Is that? Could you imagine them? My God,
hey, now everyone's Tom talking is about incredible. It's a PR stunt. Everyone's talking about there's a new MI7? What? Really?
Can you imagine if I was sitting there, I would have just started doing this after like an awkward 3 seconds of silence. That was great, Tom. Great job, Tom. Well done, Tommy. Yeah.
Fire all those all right. guys.
You see, Tom.
I'm good, right, Tom?
Yeah, not so much.
I'm just a gaffer. You don't really need me.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder if he was talking to the key grip. Remember, do you guys ever see Tropic Thunder?
Oh, great movie. Great movie.
Is that the race car movie?
Yeah, no, Tropic Thunder is the... Tropic Thunder is the movie with Robert Downey Jr., Jay Baruchel, Craig Robinson. Yeah, he's like Danny McBride, Robert Downey Jr., where he wore blackface for the whole movie. Remember that? And we all thought it was really funny. We're like, man, that's incredible. And like now we're like, oh my God, it was so racist. Yeah, that was incredible. But in Tropic Thunder, Tom Cruise played Les Grossman, who was basically just a takeoff of Harvey Weinstein. And that's what I heard there. I heard Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder and the whole fucking thing.
I totally forgot about him in that too. And he was brilliant in that.
Wasn't he incredible?
Oh God. Yeah.
That's why I don't completely hate Tom Cruise today, because of his Les Grossman character from Tropic Thunder. I swear to God.
So good.
Maybe there's something to be said about Scientology. He never fucking ages, Tom Cruise. Maybe he looks good now as he did 25 years ago.
Maybe Jesse's a Scientologist.
Something's up with the Scientology. I might want to have to look into it.
Well, Dean, I've been meaning to get some literature. Darren, I'd love to get your mailing address as well. Something I'd like to talk about. I actually wouldn't even know where. I don't know anything about Scientology to the point I don't even know where I would start. Is there something to do with sneakers in a spaceship, or am I thinking about Space Jam?
It's a big church here in Los Angeles.
That's Space Jam.
A huge facility in Los Angeles, and apparently you got to give your money to them. You got to. It's about not having possessions and not having money, and I don't know. It's all gobbledygook.
It's a cult. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. That's I just wanted to say before we ended, I'm on Team Cruise, and I don't think a lot of people are today. And it's weird for me to be on Team Cruise, but I'm on Team Cruise.
I know you've been chewed out like that, Dean, at some point in your life. I certainly have multiple times.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm not married anymore.
Well, Jesse, you must have heard rants like that from coaches.
Well, when I was playing with the Ticats, shoot, every week.
Yeah. Was it called?
We weren't very good back then.
Was it physical abuse or was it verbal abuse, or did you just call it getting yelled at by your coach?
Yeah, it was called getting chewed out.
Yeah,
because did he ever say anything like,
"Listen, I know you're playing in the city of Hamilton, and no one's having fun. You're gonna run the football, and you're gonna kick the football, throw the football. I know it's Hamilton, it's shitty, but God damn it, we're getting paid,
motherfucker,
motherfucker."
Yeah.
All right, boys. Thanks for doing this. Jesse Lumsden, where can we find you on Twitter? Give us your Twitter deets if you can.
Oh, I think it's Jesse Lumsden 28, maybe. I haven't used Twitter in a long time.
What are you using? Parler?
You can find me on Instagram here and there.
Are you on the Instagram? You're on the gram?
Jesse.Lumsden. I'm on the gram. Yeah, I'll gram every once in a while. So Jesse.Lumsden.
Is it just on pictures? The gram. Is it just pictures of your kids in the snow? I bet it is.
No. No, no, I'm not a huge, I'll put them in the story because that goes away, but I don't know. I kind of have this, this back and forth being like, would I want my kids or would I want my parents putting our family albums online and everybody can go back and see them later on? Should they have the choice whether these pictures are on there? I'd rather just let them decide that whatever social media platform they'll be on a few years from now.
You're just keeping your kids off the gram. No, that's okay. I'm glad. I'm glad you're one of those guys that doesn't do that. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad you're not that guy, because I hate that guy.
Yeah.
Every one of those guys. Look at me and my family out at the apple orchard. I'm like, you can go fuck yourself with your family, because I know what happens when you go home. You probably drink too much and your wife's on pills.
Yeah.
Well, that's so that, I mean. Yeah, that's social media in a nutshell right there. We can uncrack that one on another time, I'm sure.
No need. I'm just glad you're normal still. It's great to catch up with you again, brother. Jesse Thanks, Lumsden, brother. Ladies and gentlemen. And Darren Pfeiffer from the rock and roll band Goldfinger. Darren, of course, from the Dangerous Darren Show. And I don't know. What else? What else do you want to pimp? I was going to make up something.
Karaoke videos. We're doing those every week. Those are fun.
What are you doing?
We did a video with Mikey and his uke. It's another Toronto guy, a band called the Fairmonts. Me and him are doing these videos once in a while with high profile guys. This week, we're doing Black Flags Jealous again with two of the guys from The Descendants and two of the guys from Rise Against.
Are you serious?
It's out right now.
Why haven't you sent it to me?
I will.
Where can you find it?
I didn't know you're a big Black Flag fan.
I am. I don't know why you didn't say anything about you being doing this thing with The Descendants and doing a Black Flag song. It bothers me that you wouldn't share that with me, sort of.
Well, it just came out like a few hours ago, so it's fresh.
Okay.
It's fresh. It's still baking, technically.
All right. Darren99 on Twitter, Darren Pfeiffer on Instagram. Thank you very, very much for joining us today, guys. Really appreciate it. Great to see you both.
Great seeing you too, Darren.
Nice to meet you, Jess. Good to see you again.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
See you guys. Boys. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's it for the Dean Blundell Show today here at DeanBlundell.com. That is Jesse Lumsden. That is Darren Pfeiffer. My name is Dean. Thank you very much to our friends at Owner's Box Fantasy Sports. Owner's Box, a super easy way to play fantasy. I was laughing today because I was putting out this tweet, and the tweet basically says, go and sign up for Owner's Box, you idiot. They're giving you $500 deposit match. That's right, $500 when you sign up. It's a cash bonus. If you put in $500, they do $500. It's super, super easy to do. Sign up takes like 30 seconds. It's fun to get in there. It's fun to get into the lobby. It's fun to do the drafts. Totally self-contained. You basically have to do zero work. No work involved in signing up for Owner's Box Fantasy Sports. Zero. And they give you $500 when you put in a $500 deposit. If you put in 100, they'll put in two. If you put in 100, I mean, they'll put in one. You put in two, they'll put in two. It goes like that till 500. So just do it. Season's almost done. Be smart. Ownersbox.com. Sign up online today. Blue Microphones, the official microphone of DeanBlundell.com and the network. We're going to announce the winner of the Owner's Box. We're going to announce the winner. I'm combining clients now. That's not great. You tell that I'm trying to get out of here. I'm not. It feels like I am, but I'm not. I could stay here all day and look at your new mulletless head, Sean, on my screen that nobody can see. But we're going to announce the winner for the Show Us Your Pod contest coming up on Friday, which is like in 2 days. And we qualified all five the other day, the Fodder Figures podcast. We've also got the That Toronto Show podcast. We've got a ton of different podcasts that we've qualified up to five. And one of them is going to win our microphone, this Yeti X microphone, which is all world. New mic arm, Compass Boom mic arm. And we're also going to give that person these beautiful new headphones, courtesy of our friends at Blue Microphones, the official microphone of DeanBlundell.com and the network. Our friends at Ed's Fine Imports, they've got Gitch. Order from Ed all your Christmas presents for the dudes you got to buy gifts for. Because what he's doing is really cool. He's giving you Gitch one pair for free when you order three. So you buy three, get one free, use code Gitch3 at the checkout. Super, super simple. And then he'll send them to you. Premier luxury underwear. Pouch in the front. Super breathable. Great waistband, too. Sometimes those waistbands curl for guys like me who maybe have a bit of a shit locker. Sometimes they curl, but not, these don't. They're like fucking, and they're comfortable. That's the crazy part. Anyway, pouch in the front, too. Gitch from our friends at edsfineimports.com. I am derailing now. Did you notice that? Anyway, that's it for me. Have a great day, everybody. Don't forget to sign up for a newsletter at DeanBlundell.com. That'd be great. Outside of that, I'm done.